my mom and dad, they both dead. They died when I was like 18 months or like around that. Not knowing my mom and my dad just made me deal with situations and made me a strong person.
And what is your approach exactly? Like when you're dealing with someone grieving?
Well, you know, you got to be there for them. You got to call, you got to check in, you know, keep their spirits up.
If there's someone out there that maybe has a different mentality that hasn't met their parents, still struggling through it, I mean, it's a general statement. Is there a prognosis or some kind of words you would say to them?
Breathing is a privilege and every day above ground is a good day. Regardless if you don't know your parents or not, and if you're listening to this right now, you just need to dig deep and find something that you're passionate about and that you really love. Find something that you can feel uplifted by, you know, to get you out of that sunken place.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Today, I had the honor of speaking to Gata, who is one of the stars of the hit TV show Dave, where he actually plays himself and he's absolutely incredible in. I reached out to speak to him because I always thought he seemed like a dope person. And turns out he is. And I found out that Gata never actually met his parents, who died when he was only 18 months old. He's as open gets. It was really refreshing to speak to someone with so much positivity, though he's gone through a lot. He taps into his grief of not only losing his parents, but the fact that he never met them. He's a blast to be around, incredibly positive, uplifting, and you'll see all this in the episode of Dead Talks. All our show links are, as usual, in the bio if you want to follow us on all social media platforms. If you want to support the new Patreon for only $5 a month, please go ahead. And as usual, I'll stop talking. Let's get to the show. Gata, I appreciate you hopping on here. It's pretty dope to have you sitting in front of me, so I appreciate you being willing to talk about a little bit of death and whatnot with me. You said you're not, I think before the episode started, you're not cool with it. What did you say exactly from being from LA? You said something about death makes you uncomfortable. Is that what you said?
No. What I said was I'm not unfamiliar with death, bro. I grew up in a tough neighborhood with drugs, gun violence, gang banging, and everything that they show you on TV to scare white people, bro. So, like, as far as death, you know, it's something that we all have a connection with because it happens to everyone, you know, whether it's a family member, whether it's a pet, you know, but death is something that you can't escape. It's just like debt in the government.
How do you mean?
Bro, people die with debt. You could die and they'd be like, well, he owned this, that, and the third, and he owed such and such dollars of unpaid taxes and child support. Like, you could die with debt. So it's something that you can't escape.
That's fair. And actually, when the debt continues on, they're going to find someone else to pay it. And that's actually ironic with death in general. It's the perfect analogy because even when you die, someone else is dealing with your death.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. So do you remember the first time death kind of knocked on your door, your first exposure to it in your life?
As far as exposure, it was probably a lot of different situations, you know. But my situation, most importantly, is impacting me. Like, my mom and dad, they both dead. You know, they died when I was like 18 months or like around that time frame as a baby, year and some change. But long story short, death is a situation that made me stronger, you know, not knowing my mom and my dad. And my biological father, you know, it just made me deal with situations. It made me a strong person. So that's why I'm comfortable about talking about death. You know, my boy just lost his dad, you know, a couple days ago. And I'm able to talk to him about it like it ain't nothing because I've been, my dad dead, my mom dead. So I'm able to talk about death like we talking about fashion. So at the same time, it's a sad thing, but it affected me so much as a kid that I really just had to use it as a positive thing. So that's why I'm in the position that I'm in, you know, as far as me working hard, because I got to be the man. I didn't have no father. So that's why I work so hard, so I can take care of my auntie and my cousin, who I consider my mom and my sister. But yeah, man, death is something that happens. It's sad, but we just got to see the positive in it.
No, that's real. I think that's it's tough for some people to see it that way. Even some people that have had experiences with death in their life, there's a choice, you know, to see it as you see it with the positive light and affect your life for the positive. But it's easy for someone to go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how some people choose that way and why some people don't. I want to tap into, you know, a little bit more about your parents, but it triggered a question with your homie that you said just lost his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're comfortable talking about it. How is that interacting with someone like your friend? I don't know if how cool he is with you. So someone that
he's one of my best bros.
So how does he handle it with your approach in regards? And what is your approach exactly? Like when you're dealing with someone grieving?
Well, you know, you got to be there for him. You got to call. You got to check in, you know, keep their spirits up. And we was able to relate on the death because it was a father situation. Like I said, my father dead. I don't have no pictures with him as a grown man, as a teenager, 2 years old, 3 years old, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. on and so on. But unlike my boy, he got cool with his dad or got in communication with his dad as he got older, you know, and he was able to pull up on him and meet him at a family event, you know what I'm saying, and take a picture with him and say, yo, let's leave the past behind. You wasn't there for me, but you're here for me now, so let's move forward. So I'm able to be there for him because in my mind, I don't know my dad, bro. So I just boost him up like, yo, bro, at least you got a picture with your pops, bro. Mm-hmm. At least you was able to text him and talk to him and see him at some point. So that's how I support him, just by saying, hey, bro, I ain't never knew my dad, bro. You blessed. Like, you get to even go hear how great he was at a funeral. I ain't mm-hmm. get that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, it's real. And I related to, my, to not to bring it to my experience, but just again, I do this on the cuff, so I just trigger some things in a good way. And when I think about my dad passing at 12.
Sorry, bro.
No, I mean, you didn't do it. It's all good. No, but it's, I appreciate that. And it's, but my thought, what you were saying was, you know, you didn't have that. Even when I lost him at 12, it's just, you know, I get upset sometimes. I'm good now. It's been 20-something years thinking about what I don't have. I don't have that now, but then I force myself to think, but I did get 12 years. Someone like you didn't get, you got 18 Man, months and you don't even remember.
Come on now. So,
you know what I mean?
Everybody's situation different. So you just got to take it how you take it and just make it the best, yo. You can't be down about it. You got to live for the dead. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like for me, I don't know my pops. I don't know too much about him, but I know he dressed nice. I know he was tall and slender and he was had charisma and stuff. So that's what I try to be at times when I, you know, think about my dad. I try to make sure I be fly and, you know, be on point and be smart because I heard he was a smart guy. I heard he was, you know, not just a knucklehead. So
how'd you get that information? When did you learn about your parents?
Oh, well, my auntie. You know, my auntie that adopted me was a sister.
Oh,
you know,
okay, right.
My favorite uncles, Uncle Clarence, Uncle Ray, who's still alive, then my favorite uncles, that was his brothers. So I heard so much about it. And then I got a biological sister that live in Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, who I love to death, who was always there for me. She kind of have some type of memory about my dad, you know. And then I even got an uncle in Kansas City, Uncle Sam, who sent me some pictures recently that I seen for the first time of my dad. Mm. And I just see the picture, him looking cool as a motherfucker, smoking a cigarette, top to bottom with the leather on. It's like, me and my boy was just talking about this today. Like, just even look at a picture of your parents is just so powerful, you know, and the fact that I don't have too many, you know. So everybody out there that got their parents and everybody that don't, man, just make it the best, yo, because you never know when people gonna go and you never know what type of impact it's gonna have on your life.
Yeah, you know, you got a unique experience in losing your parents and, you know, not really meeting your parents.
Mm-hmm.
What is that process for you? Is that something you feel like you got to deal with down there or something you still deal with or something you got to process? Like, is that a delayed grief experience? What does that even mean?
It probably is a process that I got to deal with, but...
Like, still?
Yeah, for sure. Because I always think about, like, damn, I ain't got no dad. I didn't really have a steady father figure every single day of my life. Like, you know, I probably would have made different decisions, you know. I probably would have went to school and finished a full ride or, you know, you just never know when you got that manly push in your life. Not saying that my mom and my sister didn't do a great, amazing job, but just imagine if they would have had manly support there every day. I would be even more amazing. Mm-hmm. So those are the thoughts that run through my head. And then I always think about my real mom. Like, damn, like, I don't even know my real mom. So I'm dealing with both of those, bro. Like, more than the average person. So people don't really take that into consideration when they think about me, you know? So I always just try to make the best out of it, you know? But I'm pretty sure it's a lot of trauma and things that affect me by being in that situation and probably the reason why I act the way I act or treat people the way I treat people. Because, you know, I like to, you know, have friends and be social because when you're dealing with a lot of shit, you don't want to be by yourself dealing with depression, dealing with death and thoughts. So that's why I'm probably so lively in spirit, so vivacious, because, you know, I done been through a lot.
I always wonder about that. Like, when I think about my flaws in general, sometimes I have to let it go because I'm like, is that just me? Is it something else? Was it losing my dad or is it just some other shit that has nothing to do with my dad? Do you ever spend time angling where, like, you just explained some reasons why you are the way you are and maybe it is that mm-hmm. bad. Do you spend time thinking about that outside of what you just said now?
Well, anything that I do that I would say is irrational or a bad decision or a fucked up thing to do or something, I would never put that on my dad, you know, really, because I ain't know him. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it like that. Like, yeah, my dad ain't around or my real mom ain't around, but I still had a great support system who taught me right from wrong. So anytime I do something that I feel is odd, it's really on me because I know right from wrong. You know, I had a great upbringing and stuff. So I don't really think too much about, damn, am I this way because my dad ain't here? Nah, he was never here to begin with. So I'm not here to say that he's affected me in my actions, you know, because I had role models that I looked up to that I can find easily get inspiration from. We all like Michael Jordan. We all watch The Simpsons. We all like the Ninja Turtles. So I used to just use things as distractions, you know, to put me in a happy mood. So I don't really think about that.
What about correlation with relationships? Because this is a question I've always asked myself, how much losing someone affects my intimate relationships. Is that something you ever considered?
Oh, hell yeah. I don't trust women that easily, you know? Like, I trust them to a certain extent, you know? But as far as me not knowing my real mom, it probably does affect me in how I treat women and stuff. But I don't let that be an excuse because I was raised by two great women, you know? So that's more so the thing that I probably would say. I might be more emotional than the normal man because, number one, I'm a Cancer. If anybody believes in, you know, what is it, horoscopes and shit like that. So I'm emotional by default because I'm a Cancer. And then, you know, being raised by two women. So I'm probably just more emotional. That's
best,
what I was
my
saying.
Best friend's a Cancer, and I'm a Pisces. Apparently Pisces and Cancer.
Yeah, that's how me and Dickie is. Dickie a Pisces. His birthday is in March.
I think that's a real thing. So I'm starting to catch on to that. I don't know shit about horoscopes, but that I didn't realize until someone pointed that out. I was like, oh, James is a Cancer. I mean, I don't think that's an accident.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about horoscopes. I don't understand it enough. What's your opinion on people that are going through it that don't know their parents and are going through that shit now? Like, maybe they haven't really thought of like you, because you seem to be taking responsibility for yourself. You're not taking any victim mentality. Yeah, this happened, but I'm not putting a blame on that situation. If there's someone out there that maybe has a different mentality that hasn't met their parents and still struggling through it, I mean, it's a general statement. It'd be more of an individual basis, but is there a prognosis or some kind of words you would say to them?
Well, I got two quotes that I say every morning that uplift me. You know, breathing is a privilege and every day above ground is a good day. So regardless if you don't know your parents or not, and if you're listening to this right now, you just need to dig deep and find something that you're passionate about and that you really love, you know, that you can find joy in, whether it's a pet. Shout out my new dog, Penny. I just bought her. Or got her the other day. Sorry to my dog breeders and all the people that are offended about that. But I love dogs and pets and stuff like that and toys and just fashion. You just need to find something that you can feel uplifted by, you know, to get you out of that sunken place, you know. So if you're dealing with that, man, I know you dream about things. I know you want to be something one day. You know, like, my career is something that I rely on to take my mind off of tragedy and trauma. Because at the end of the day, when I'm going through something, or whether it's in the hood, back home, relationship, or whether I'm thinking about my mom and dad, I can snap out that shit real quick and just be like, fuck that. I'm Gator. I'm grinding every day. Like, this is what I do. Like, all right, fuck it. You know, so that's why I love me. That's why I love GD. Like, I love my brand, because if I'm going through anything, I can just say, you know what, man, fuck all that shit. And this is what I'm on, my brand, my dream. So like I said, man, everybody don't got that dig deep mentality, find something you love, but just try your best, because I promise you it'll work.
Oh, man. Okay. You just reminded me, because when it comes to finding something you're passionate about, I'm equating it to purpose, meaning, all that. And then I made a post a while back, something, I don't know what I said, something about finding purpose and trying not to put too much pressure on yourself. I got a bunch of comments saying, I don't have purpose. I can't find my purpose. And just literally just kind of degrading themselves. And it was a sad way. I didn't really know what to say to them.
It's, well,
like, you know, well, I don't know if
see,
you have any thought.
This, you also got to remember, we live in a day and age where people get on the computer, they could be putting all their emotions out there, right? And, you know, be meaning it. Yeah. But sometimes you got to be able to know that, reading between the lines, is this person just calling for attention to be seen? Mm-hmm. Or are they really going through something? Like me, some people don't put all their stuff out there. Some people do. But it's not your responsibility to make sure that everybody that says, oh, man, I'm going through something, I ain't got no... Like, I would drive myself crazy if I tried to be a therapist to everybody that came to me and said, oh, I'm in this sunken place, whoop-de-whoop, or every comment. So, long story short, man, Self-purpose is the best purpose. Mm-hmm. So if you don't feel like you got a purpose for yourself, then you won't find the purpose to go out and get a job. You won't find the purpose to start a podcast or complete a song that you did or you're working on. So you got to have self-purpose first before you talk about any purpose. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have no purpose for yourself, you're not going to serve no purpose to nobody else or anything else that you're trying to do. You got to start with yourself first. So it's self-purpose. So that's how you build your self-purpose up, is think about yourself first. Don't worry about what you think because he says, because I'm telling you, oh, I'm low. And man, you might not give a fuck about my problems. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do it for yourself. But I don't know. That's just me, man. I'm one of them ones.
No, I appreciate that. And it wasn't even so much when I read it, like, oh, what am I going to say? This or that. Because sometimes I can't really engage because sometimes it's too much.
You should have told him, find your self-purpose. That's what you should have said.
I'm gonna give you my phone after. You're going to respond to those comments.
Bro,
you
should have sent him back the, listen, this is what I would have did. I would have sent him back the Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
For real.
That's actually true. Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's nice.
Like, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think people are scared of their reflection. Sometimes I am too. I used to have bad acne when I was a kid, though, so that's a whole different story. But no, I think, you know, COVID, back on that topic, COVID fucked a lot of people up, not just the whole, obviously the obvious, but I think a lot of people were alone, had to like sit with themselves. And I found a lot of people in my circle were not comfortable sitting alone with themselves. And I think that correlates to what you're saying, find that self-purpose, maybe being comfortable with yourself, yada, yada, yada. But I think that kind of correlates to with yourself, because
right.
If you can't sit with yourself, how are you going to find self-purpose?
Yeah, you know, some people are happy with distractions. Some people are happy with going out all the time and getting wasted and always functioning and partying, you know, because they're trying to find themselves or they don't know their purpose. But when you're a person like me, of self-worth and self-value, you're going to duck off and stay in the house and chill and be isolated and appreciate the downtime. Like me, I'm so hype and be doing a million things all the time and trying to just conquer this, that, and the third. When I'm sitting down chilling with my dogs or just playing my PS5 Portal or just chilling, that was some of the best times of my life because I be working so hard trying to just do this and be, you know? So people got to realize isolation is power. When you can be by yourself and get your thoughts clear, that's the most powerful thing you could do, is reset your brain.
No, I'm with you, man. I think my friends consider me, I'm like an extroverted loner. I think my friends kind of call me out sometimes for not coming out. You guys lame, I guess. And sometimes I kind of sit in. And I think, I don't know, whatever that is a reset form. I never really put that word on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, even if it's uncomfortable sometimes, I'm kind of cool with myself. I travel alone. I do things by myself and I prefer it. I think that does build a strength for dealing with everything else. If you can sit in your alone in your thoughts or just be with yourself and have a good time,
yeah.
I think that translates to everything else.
Yeah, but too much isolation make people stray away from you too. So you just got to have a healthy balance, you know, because a lot of people don't know how to, you know, do both, multitask. Yeah. You just got to have a healthy balance, man.
I want to ask you about this. So when you said you hit that switch, when if you're going through shit and you're, you know, you stay hype and all that, is there any relation to that with pushing shit to the side and not dealing with it?
Most of the time, I like to deal with my problems head on, you know, like, I don't like to prolong things. If I'm dealing with a situation and I'm aware of it and I know it could have me go down a bad path, I just rather address it head on, whether it's with my family, my girl, whether I got to rush to the therapist or the hospital. I just like to deal with stuff head up, bro. Because where I'm from, you can't just be tucking your tail out here, man. Because that's not a good way to deal with things, you know, because it can make your problems even more bigger if you just hold them in, you know. Yeah. And I like to express myself. And a lot of people where I come from and a lot of minorities and, you know, people from the inner city, they'll shell up and, you know, not really say what they're going through. They'll be scared to tell somebody, oh, man, I ain't got it right now. I'm low in my pockets. Or, hey, girl, I just lost my job. You know, like some people ain't like that. But me and my circle and everything where I come from and my upbringing, that's why I love my neighborhood and my community, because no matter what we going through, ain't nobody hiding nothing. Hey, if I'm broke, I'm broke, bro. If I ain't got no car, I ain't got no car, bro. Come pick me up. Like, you know, everybody ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I appreciate, you know, my situation and just my upbringing, because it make me so real and likable, because I tell you all the shit that people going through. Like, yeah, bro, I just came from the county building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it ain't nothing, bro.
Like, food stamps on the way, bro. We good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Not literally, but I'm just saying.
No,
you know,
I guess you're
like, I'm so comfortable with being who I am.
We always like that?
Yeah.
Like, just literally straight up, like, out the womb? Just
out the womb, bro. Like, I just always wanted to just be pure, bro. Like, I don't know how to be nothing else. Like, I figured if I try to be fake, it ain't going to work, bro. So I just need to be myself at all times. And it's been working so far, so I'm going to keep it going.
I mean, it's wild because, obviously, you're like the same person I see on the show.
Oh, yeah. The wiggle is real,
that
bro.
That shit's real.
This is the gander.
This is the
gander has came to Dead Talk. So let's go.
It's obviously you put that out there, and we don't talk about the show, but it's just dope. That's just extremely awesome to me.
Man.
You know, you meet in general. It doesn't be someone who's in the public light like you. Just in general, when you have this ideation about someone, even if someone's talking about them, and it just doesn't translate. It's refreshing to meet someone that you get what you see.
Man, that's what's up, bro.
You get what you see
for real. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So what do you? This is on topic actually, but what do you? What are your beliefs like in regards to? I don't think I'm like the religious rat hole, but rat hole. What's the word? Rabbit hole. If I could say rat hole, the rabbit hole of religion. But
that would have worked too, though.
The rat hole.
Rat hole would have worked.
How does that work?
Because you're making your own lingo, bro. You know what I'm saying? It would have worked.
All right, let's go down the rat hole. What do you think happens when we die?
I think when you die, man, you forever live on, man. People still talking about Pac. My family still be talking about my dad. People still talk about Biggie. People still talk about JFK. Like, when you die, man, depending on the type of person you are, you even gonna be even more loved or more talked about. Like, man, there's so many dead people that we be praising every day, bro. Elvis movie just came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Bob Marley movie in theaters right now. So, you know, not to say that they should be out and cherished and put out in the forefront just because they're celebrities, but all I'm saying is if you got a positive impact on somebody's life, like, you know, how your dad had on you, you don't talk about him all the time, like, you know? So that's how I feel about death. And I feel like death is just something that brings out the best in some people and then it breaks some people down. It's just all about how strong you are.
Yeah, I think if it breaks you down, that's all right, too.
Yeah, that's why I got a lot of respect for Kobe Bryant's wife. You know, Vanessa Bryant, because like he has such a big impact on the world, and just the fact that she got to hear his name like literally every single day, like somebody's reminding you of Kobe. Like we ain't forgetting about Kobe, bro. So it's like the fact that she could deal with that, you know, in the public eye. Like I respect people like that too. You know, like I feel like that's the type of persona I would have. You know, if I lost somebody that close to me, like I would be repping them every day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you're gonna have your moments where you break down, but I just love how Vanessa Bryant be repping for Kobe.
Yeah, it kind of correlates to what you said earlier in the podcast when I asked you about how your family, you know, speaks to your parents. That is kind of the same thing. Like they were talking about your parents often. You heard something good things about them, and they kept them alive.
Hell
and that,
yeah!
Just that storytelling impacted who you became.
Yep.
And how you talk about your parents now.
Yeah, for sure, man.
It's like the same thing.
Yeah, hell yeah! You just gotta embrace your situation. That's all. I was just one of those ones that was able to go through something at a young age and just embrace it, wear it proudly. And, you know, just go hard, bro.
What was you don't have to give me like an exact timeline if you even remember, but at what point did that even start coming into your life? Like, obviously, you said they were telling stories as you were growing up, but at what
point? I didn't really know till I was like six or seven years old. That's when they really broke it down. Like, my mom and sister broke it down to me, like, you my nephew, and this is what happened, and you know what I'm saying? So, like, at 6 or 7, you know.
Do you remember at 6 or 7, what you have thoughts about it? What even goes through a 6-year-old's head?
No, I don't really have no thoughts, really. I just remember just knowing, okay, dang, I ain't got a dad. But see, the distraction was my amazing stepdad. Shout out Daddy Carl, man, who took me to Linwood Park, to the skateboard park all the time on his bus routes, on his lunch break. He would drop me off at the skate park and then come pick me back up at the end on his shift. He would pick me up every weekend, take me to get a fresh haircut. He would come to my basketball games and stuff. So that's why people and love and, you know, time is important, because it can really fill a void, you know. Like, I'm pretty sure you got some men in your life that are older than you, that are mature, that can have those manly conversations with you like a father would. Mm-hmm. That's why I appreciate any type of real, pure, genuine masculinity that I get in my life, because I ain't get that from not having a dad. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out Daddy Carl, man.
Daddy Carl making an appearance.
Daddy Carl, man. One of the best stepdads ever.
Do you have him in a hook yet?
Nah, I just put him in one right now, though.
Did you actually?
For real, yeah. Daddy Carl with the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy Carl with the Cadillac. He had that Escalade brand new on 22s.
I was just saying, I think we got something here.
Yeah, for real. Daddy Carl, the man, he the first dude I ever seen with Cartier bamboo glasses with wood on them, and he wasn't from Detroit. And this was when I was a little kid, bruh. Talking about having motorcycles, having toys, all of that. Like, Daddy Carl, the reason why I like all the cars and stuff. He had every car.
Now, do you call him Daddy Carl, or is that his nickname?
That's his nickname. I call him Daddy Carl because... I think it's Daddy Carl, is my stepdad. Like, that's what I used to call him. Yeah, Daddy Carl. All
right, then that adds up.
Hey, what's up? I'm glad we're talking about this too, because I never really get to tell him how important he was to me. So I can't wait to let him see this clip, man.
I mean, we could talk about Daddy Carl the rest of the episode. I don't know. this is your podcast right now, yeah. But I probably promised that.
Man, appreciate you.
But respect to Daddy Carl, because it's important to have that. Because again, I don't give a shit about credit. I'm saying, like, I give all the credit to how I was raised without my dad, because my sister's my mom.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
So it's like, and this goes back to the thought of, I don't want comparison is the thief of joy, comparison is the grief of joy, whatever you want to call it in this sector, but it's like, so many other people don't have what we had in regards to having a backup of people raising us.
Yeah, man, that support system.
It's a big fucking deal. It's a big fucking deal. There's so many people that maybe don't have and it's still hard as shit, obviously, but to not have that support, male or female,
damn, man.
It's like, you're really on your own.
For real, like, it's a lot of kids that are in way, way more unfortunate situations than I could ever imagine, you know, like actually staying in the system or never getting adopted by family members or a great family, you know, where they gotta, you know, really fend for themselves and, you know, be weary of the other kids and the foster home. So, man, it's just a tough thing, man. And I just, you know, thank God for all my blessings.
Amen. Yeah, I just don't know how people, I can't even think about how they do get through it. But I think there is some role models along the way, even if it's not identified as Daddy Carl.
Yeah, it's, man.
Like, there are those Daddy Carls out there.
Yeah, like whether it's a counselor, teacher, you know, you're going to find some type of positivity, because that's what the universe does. That's what the higher power does. He lets you see different type of energies. That's why I always tell people, like, life is like a battery. You know, you got the positive side of it, then you got the negative side. It's just all about what side you want to embrace the most.
Yeah, and you have it. So it's a choice, 100% choice.
For sure.
That's a big staple. I think, you know, I feel like I have no control of so much shit, most of the shit, but we do have that control, like you said, the flip side of the battery. That's the one thing we can literally choose. I think it's easier said than done.
For sure.
But then I thought about easier said than done. Is there, what is... easier said than done. What is actually done easier than saying?
Shit, easier. You say easier.
Easier said than done.
Oh, easier said than done is, I'm gonna fucking make it. I'm gonna make it.
That's easier said than done.
Hell yeah.
But what is harder said than done? Is there any, does that even exist?
What, harder said than done?
You know, like that kind of like diminishes the phrase.
Shit, I'm gonna make it too. It's harder to do it than it is to say it, and it's harder to say it than it is to do it. Both of them. That's a catch 22, man. For real.
I had nowhere to go with that. I just said it.
Hey, but that's why we're here, man.
That's why we're here.
We panning it out, bro.
That's it. Got the fan going.
We
got
to get the wrinkles out.
I guess so. We can go with that way. So what else? In regards to, because when I asked you about what you believe happens after we die, we were talking about, I guess, how we live on through word.
Yeah.
In regards to still being here. But then you mentioned a higher power, and then you mentioned energy. So is there a God in there, or is it just energy?
I definitely believe in God. God is my higher power, you know. But as far as energy and spirits, man.
It's like the same stuff.
I feel like they just, actually not really though, because they just bounce around, you know. Spirit is something that you can feel from a person. Energy could be transferred. Like if you mad, like more of an emotional thing when I say energy. Like if you mad and that ricochet off me, then I'm mad. That's just our energy bouncing off each other. But my spirit and my drive and my hustle and my swag, I can't put that in you.
Oh, so that's just you. That's what makes Gator Gator.
Yeah, like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
I get that.
Your energy could bounce off me, and then I start, you know, wanting to bounce off your energy. But as far as your spirit, you can't put your spirit in me and make me be like you. So that's why I say spirit and energy is two different things.
So does our spirit continue on? Or does our energy continue on?
Nah, your energy not going to continue on.
Energy's done.
Yeah, like, we'll never get nip energy ever again, bro. We'll never get certain people's energy, bro. But we'll have a spirit, though.
I wonder what bling spirit Gator wears.
Oh man, I got some nice bling spirit, bro. I got
bling spirit.
Nice cross. Keep me spiritual, bro.
What's up? You got the, I see the yin and the yang in your chest. What
does
that represent?
Yeah. This is me and Dickie, man. Black and white, yin and yang. My brother, he got this for me for my birthday. Ben Baller made this, but yeah, man, it's one of my favorite pieces.
What I want to ask you in regards to, I'm going to bring it back again, but when you said you showed up for your friend, do you have any, did you have words for him that lost his father? Or is it
hell
just,
yeah,
being, just being
words
there?
For him. I said, bro, at least you got a picture with your dad while you a grown
so
man.
So it was just that perspective
that right,
conversation.
Listen,
that was it. Just perspective.
Bro, that right there made him feel like, damn, Gator here for me. And he going through some shit that I ain't even go through. Like, at least he is right. I do got a picture of my dad. I just, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can hold on to that. Look at that. Like, I will never, ever be able to go back in time and, you know, just get that. Mm-hmm. Look at me, dad. Look, what's up?
How long has it been now? You said 2 days ago?
Probably a couple days ago. Yeah, I'm not sure too many days, but a few days ago.
Yeah,
probably like 2-3 days ago.
Because I'm big on that perspective shit in regard, but some people don't respond to that. So even as clear as that statement is to me, like that I think that is the answer to my perspective. That is the answer, perspective.
Because that person is wrapped up in a grief instead mm-hmm. of saying, "Damn, let me take the time out to put myself in his shoes." Mm-hmm. And that's what I respect about my bro Jeezy. Cause yeah, he could have shunned it off like, "Nigga, fuck you, nigga, my daddy just died, nigga." But he didn't do that. The nigga said, "You right, bro. Like, mm-hmm. damn, like I'm grieving and you've been grieving all this time and you've dealt with this every day." Like, so that it made him put his spirits back up, bro. Like, anytime somebody going through some shit that's worse than you, it's gonna make you look on the bright side. Like, there's the guy under the freeway with the cardboard box, and then there's the guy that don't have no cardboard box, that don't got no freeway protecting him with the rain and all that. He's just out here, no clothes, no nothing. So the person under the freeway with the cardboard box and the, you know what I'm saying? They gonna mm-hmm. be feeling more, man, maybe I can't get out of this situation. So,
yeah.
You know?
No, that's the easiest way to do it. But again, I think
I feel like
I've taken that approach. I always take that approach. I'm a little bit more, I don't want to say hardened, but I think when it comes to, I've been called a little insensitive sometimes because I just say things
right.
the way I see them. And not to like disrespect, I bite my tongue when I have
right,
to.
Right, right.
But if it comes off, when I've said things like that about the perspective, some people just ain't ready for it. But even if they're not ready for it, that's going to hit them later. Like, even if they're wrapped up in the grief, like you said, maybe if they weren't responsive to what I said, hitting the perspective game, it's something that will stick with them. And I think at some point when they are ready, that perspective is going to hit. So either way, it's going
to
hit.
Yeah, for sure. But even if it don't, peace bond to them, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can only hope for the best, bro. You can only do so much, say so much. That's why I always say self-purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, we get caught up in so many other people's problems. Like, sometimes I be worried about stuff that other people got going on, I forget about my mother load of problems. You know what I'm saying? So people really got to just focus on themselves and shit. We'll be good.
Yeah, it gets tangled up. We just have so much shit going on, but I think if you bring it back to yourself, it's okay to be selfish.
Hell yeah,
it's okay to be selfish. Everyone's got, and again, back to that, even those comments I was talking about, people are just putting stuff out there and I can't tell who's just reaching for something or genuinely needs help.
Yeah, man. You know, it's a lot of trolls out here, bro.
There are too many trolls out
there. And then, you got to think about it. There's some people out here that's so insensitive that they be trolling about death and shit.
Oh, yeah. I had a comment once that...
Hey, this is crazy seeing this book right here. Good morning.
What's Good Morning Podcast?
Whatever this book is, it's the kind of title say good morning, and morning is spelled with a loss.
Yeah, that's so the shout out to the girls in Australia. That theater in New Zealand. Sorry.
Because the only reason why I'm fond to these, because I'm in a movie with that same exact title with MGK.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's called Good Morning, spelled just like that.
Wait, that dropped already, right?
Yeah, it's on Prime and shit.
Yeah. So they have a podcast called The Good Morning Podcast, spelled as it is, and that's their book.
Oh, that's crazy. That's tight.
They got a dope podcast talking about similar shit. Well, when did that drop? Because it's been out for a little bit, right? No?
It dropped like... I forgot when it dropped, bro. I didn't do like 14 movies. I think it was last year or the year before.
14 movies?
Well, I'm in 14 movies. They're not all out yet, but yeah, I got like 14 projects in the can.
Well, I mean, even as a transition out of here, is there anything you want to plug?
I just want to plug health, wealth, prosperity. You know what I'm saying? God bless the dead. Everybody out there going through something, man, just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Brighter days are coming. Keep your head up. And like I said, breathing is a privilege. Every day above ground is a good day. And it ain't nothing but a minor setback for a major fucking comeback. It's your boy Gator.
We out.
Yeah.